Okay, hello everybody. Hello. Casey, will you turn that mic up just a tad? Dun dun. Hello everybody. Yeah, if you guys really wanted me to, I could start singing, but I do have to record myself for this, so whoever listens to this, I don't know if that would be good for them or what, but we are going to start. This is the breakout for the grade school ministry, and so if you are not serving in grade school ministry or interested in serving in grade school ministry, you are in the wrong room. You can stay here, so you do what you want, but adults and preschool are both that way. So you all, nobody moved, so I'm guessing you're all in the right spot. Guys, they talked quite a bit over there, and you're going to get just a little bit more talking over here too. I'm probably not as funny as they are, so I'm sorry already. But I don't know. Maybe you guys weren't sure if they were funny. I don't know. But I am going to introduce myself first because there are a lot of people in here that I actually don't know, and a lot of people that I have never really sat down with to share a little bit of my story. But my name is Nicole Howard, and I'm the grade school minister here. I started in this job September of last year. After moving here from Fort Worth, I worked at a church in Aledo, Texas, if you guys know where that is, in Aledo as the high school girls minister. And I moved here because of my husband, who at the time, we were not even engaged, and I moved here. That's how confident I was, we were getting married. And anyways, we got engaged 2 days before I started my job here, and married in January, but moved here. He works for Pine Cove. He is the camp director at the Timbers, and so we both are running in two very different lanes of ministry, and loving it a ton. So that is how I got here. I have worked in ministry for quite some time, 7-ish years, I think is what I would count it as. And I have really worked with high schoolers mostly, has been where I found myself. And when I was getting ready to move to Tyler, I was not ready to step out of ministry, even though Caleb was in a pretty like busy, heavy ministry role. And I was interviewing for this job, and I thought, God, I don't think you ever want me to be a kids pastor. Here I am. I love it a ton. South Spring is really awesome. I grew up going to church. I was saved when I was 7, and so it really is such a tender ministry for me to get to step into, because I was a lot of the kids that I get to have conversations with about baptism. You guys would be shocked at how many parents are reaching out to me or stopping me on a Sunday morning because their kid wants to be baptized, and how many faithful parents we have in our church that have raised their kids in a home to understand the gospel. It has been a really sweet ministry for me to get to do, and to get to know all of you guys has been a gift. I am used to student ministry games where they make you eat a blended up McDonald's Happy Meal, and I am so thankful that I have left that world. I still love high schoolers, and I still love that my husband is the camp director at a youth camp, and so I still get a good taste of that, but I promise and I swear that I will never make anyone ever in this building do that. So in getting ready for this too was like, oh, we have to play a game. Like there has to be a game because there's always a game in student ministry. You don't ever not play a game, even in a room full of adults. We're not playing a game this morning. this morning, it's not even morning. We will not be playing a game today. But something that I do want us to do is talk about the kids that are in our building who are Gen Alpha kids. And so I, this last week, got really interested in Gen Alpha because I was like, wait, they're in my building. I should really start to learn things about them. Who are they? What are things that they say? What are people saying about this generation of kids? Because I kind of fall in between, like, maybe I'm Gen Z, maybe I'm not. I was born in 1997, and everyone's like, yeah, you're a Gen Z. And I'm like, no, I don't want to be Gen Z. I complain, so it probably makes me a Gen Z. But The Gen Alpha is actually a really interesting generation of kids that are coming up. There's a lot of things about them that I think I was not even thinking about when I think, like, okay, they are the, like, generation that is most shaped by technology. And that means a lot for them. It changes the way that they interact with other people. It changes the way they interact even with the things that you put in front of them, coloring sheets, games, like how they think is really changing because of the technology that is always in front of them. And so I'm gonna read to you guys a couple of things just about them that I learned over this last week. I found this website that had this awesome just like PDF of, it was like a business thing. And so I was like, oh, interesting, you're already thinking about business for Gen Alpha. They're still children, babies. but they say that they are app-based play. They increased their screen time. They have shorter attention spans, which we can all, we know that. They have a very high digital literacy, but less social formation. And so kind of what I was saying is that they interact with a screen typically more than they're interacting with other people. And so I would say that having them here on a Sunday morning is a really awesome opportunity to help them learn how to interact with their peers. Again, they're the generation that's most shaped by technology. And they also call them Generation Glass, I guess because they're always looking at a glass screen or something. They are influencers, which you maybe think like, okay, grade school, like, I don't know, guys. I was sitting in big group a couple of weeks ago, and they were reading our memory verse, and these kids just all started saying this meme. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't think you guys were on TikTok. But you probably have older siblings, or you're on YouTube. You know, it's endless out there. But they're influencers. They're adaptable, collaborative. And they love to know. They have access to more information than any generation has ever had. And they will be the most educated generation. They will stay in school longer. So parents, Generation Alpha, they're gonna be living at home for a while. That's what this document said. So you guys better get ready. And their version of play tends to be more focused on educational toys. So like when I go to buy my nephews Christmas gifts, it's all of the STEM toys. It's like, what can you do with science and make it a toy for a kid to play with? Like, those are the things that kids are interested in because they want to know and they want to be challenged intellectually. And you may think, no, I don't think so, because they use these words. I have a list of words that you might hear your kids using. And I will read them to you. Brain rot, skibbity, skibbity Ohio, Rizzler, bussin', glaze, sigma, what the sigma? Guys, they have so many words that mean so many things at different times. Like one word could have five different meanings. And so I took to ChatGPT because I'm a Gen Zer, and I had them make me a document of what all of these words mean. And I will spare all of you from reading every definition, but I want you guys to know that if you hear your kids saying Skibbity Ohio, they probably just don't think it's cool, okay? Or they're probably making fun of someone. Ohio comes from, is anybody from Ohio? No? Thank goodness. You would get made fun of like nobody's business if you stepped into our grade school building. Ohio is just known as the place where weird things happen. So if you're from Ohio, maybe don't claim it. I don't know. These words, I hardly knew what they meant. Skibbity, guys, comes from this meme called Skibbity Toilet. And I was gonna show you guys the video, and it is this absolutely absurd, like 12-minute long video, and it comes in like episodes and episodes of this thing, and it's so crazy. It is brain rot. It is their brain rot culture. They are mind-numbingly watching Skibidi Toilet. If you guys are interested, you should look it up. And if you're thinking, am I watching the right video? You are watching the right video. That's where I found myself. And so, anyways, you know, they use words like ick, like, oh, that gives me the ick. And so if your kid says you give them the ick, then you should maybe ask them, how can it be cooler to you? Like, am I doing something that's making, you know, what? So, anyways, they have all of these words. Guys, ask them what they mean. Like, step into their culture. It is something that is so beyond even me that I hear even my friends. I'm like, I'm 27. My 27-year-old friends are using these words, and I'm like, I don't know what that means, and I don't care to know what that means. I'm never going to use it. But they get used all the time, and it is something that even if the kids do not necessarily have social media or are on YouTube reels or something, they're still going to know them because it's just the slang that they use. So this is a short list, a very short list of words that you might hear your grade schoolers throwing around. Just ask them what they mean, and if you don't want to know what they mean, then that's okay too. Just don't try to use them because you'll probably use it out of context. And it will probably mean something more inappropriate than you ever intended it to because you don't know how to use the word. Anyways, so that's enough. Our kids are very unique here at South Spring. We have a large span of kids that are adopted, kids that are in the foster care system. We have a lot of kids that are homeschooled, private school, public school, you name it. We probably have those kids here, and they are all a gift from the Lord, and they all operate very differently. And so that can make some classes really unique and challenging. But what I have learned is that the parents here listen, the parents here care, and they care that their kids are hearing the gospel, and we care that they're hearing the gospel, even if we have to get onto them 15 times in one class sitting. Like, they are listening, and they do want to learn. It might just take a second to break through to their personality, to hear their story, to be connected with them. And so that's my challenge to you guys, is that connect with Generation Alpha. They're very interesting. It's also why they're called Gen Alpha. They're supposed to be like, you know, this new generation of kids. And so anyways, just wanted to share some of that information with you guys. Before we really started talking about our mission here, I really thought they were going to talk about this over there. I did steal this from their notes, but I don't think I heard these words come out. I know that this screen's kind of small, but I'll read these to you. Our mission here, and as I was reading through these, I was like, this really is the heart of our church and of our ministry, is to meet kids at their level of development. To teach the love of Christ and joy of his salvation, help them learn the truth of God's word, and encourage kids and families to grow in a body of believers. And so a lot of this is, this mission kind of really bleeds into our one-pager job description that they were telling you guys about. I have them for all of you, so we'll start here. Actually, will you give me like half of those? Nope. Works. Yep, it works. Okay. If you guys could pass these around, that would be awesome. We will walk through this job description. And they read a little bit of it to you guys. I just want to go through the responsibilities. I personally have never been given a job description as a leader in a ministry that I was not paid for. And so I feel like this is a really unique and kind of a it gives you a really good place to look at to think, okay, am I serving my church well? Am I serving these kids well? Kind of like, you know, you have the benchmark that you guys all got to take home. You can look at this to be reminded, okay, these are the things I need to be thinking of, the things that I need to be practicing to make our church hospitable and to be a people that are devoted to discipling the next generation. There's only 5 responsibilities on here, and so I will walk through each of those and just kind of give you guys the heart behind me writing them. But create a welcoming environment. Greet parents and kids and remember their names and make space comfortable for all. This includes arrival 15 minutes before the service time, which I know they talked about that a lot over there, but I remember when I first started working in preschool ministry at my church in Arkansas, and I had no idea what I was doing. They just were like, yeah, you can run this whole child care program, and you got it. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I remember talking with our preschool minister at the time, and she was saying to me, like, there is nothing more important to a parent than them showing up to a room and seeing a face of a person with a name tag on, and they're smiling at them. And if you know them, you're remembering their name. And if you don't know them, you're asking them their name. And I just think that is so important, that we want parents to know when they drop their kid off that they are safe with us, and that they're welcome here. We have a lot of new visitors that have been funneling through, even in the summer, guys. I was shocked. I was like, wow, we have had, there were only a couple of Sundays that we went without having a guest come to our first time visitor station downstairs. And so remember that we have people coming to this church that either do not know the Lord, do not have a church home, and are looking for a place to belong. And so a really awesome way to do that is through creating that welcoming environment when they're coming inside to check in, when they're dropping their kid off, when they're picking them up. And a part of that welcoming environment too is you prepare for the lesson. When a kid leaves your class, what are they saying? Like, do they remember what you talked about? Are they excited to tell their parents what they just learned? Grade school ministry is a very unique ministry because it's so impactful, not just to the grade schooler, but to their parents. Especially if you have a kid that gets in the car and yaps, right? What you never know what they're going to say, right? Like, we want them to be talking about these things with their parents, and hopes that it spurs on not just them and their faith, but their family as well. And two, it's one of those things where I have multiple times, I'm going to talk about the Brewers for a second, walked past their classroom, first graders, and Trey has something on his head, or like, I walked past her classroom one time, and Brett is standing outside, like, getting ready to burst through the door to reenact the story that they're telling that day. And so you can't do that if you don't look ahead. You can't do that if you're not preparing your heart to step into the classroom. And if you ever find something that you need, we can get that for you. I want to help you guys out. Jill Kinsley, gosh, earlier in the spring, I think, came to me and was like, can we do this with our, like, memory verses? Like, can we make cards? And we were like, oh my gosh, yes, that's an awesome idea. You guys tell us what you need, because we want to help you know how to teach your kids. And next is to foster a gospel-centered environment. So read scripture with your kids. We are missing a huge part of ministry if we are not opening the Bible with our kids when they are in our classroom. So read scripture, recall the memory verse. That's why we have the cards in your room. Let them ask questions. I think you guys would be really surprised at the questions that they have. We've been doing the questions from Kids Box, and I will get questions like, how was God made if there was nothing before him? And it's like, oh, you're in first grade, and you're thinking about, like, how God was made. So they are thinking about these things, and let them ask questions. Pray with them and for them, and remind them of the finished work of Jesus with every opportunity. They're eager if you will listen to them. It might take a second to get to the question, but they're eager, and they want to talk. Next is to set the example, to have an encouraging and positive attitude, and set the example and expectation and participation and behavior. A lot of that bleeds into big group. Big group can be kind of tough when there's a lot of kids in here, and they are loud, and it is fun, and we are playing four corners and running around. But when it comes to worship, the worship videos, maybe are not the most exciting thing to them, but we need to teach them how to worship somehow, and this is what we have been given to work with. And so we want our kids to see what it is like as best as they can to participate over in the big service and here as well, in listening and in standing up and engaging in worship. And even if that means that you have to look silly doing the dance moves, the kids really do watch you guys, and they really will join in with you if you're patient enough with them. So set the example for them. And lastly, create a safe environment for each kid. Establish a set of classroom rules and expectations so that no kid is caught off guard by your response to their behavior. We will do classroom rules like after all this is over. And so that is something that I really want to implement this coming school year, because our kids need structure. They need direction, and you guys are there to provide that for them. And so that means rules. It's okay to be in charge. They might feel like they run this place, and a lot of kids are really comfortable here, which is so awesome. And it is really such a gift that we do have so many kids that feel like this is a home to them. Homes also have rules. And so we will, think of classroom rules. And I think in the third grade classroom downstairs, there's like this poster board that has rules, and all the kids signed it. And so get creative. We want them to thrive, and kids thrive in structure, whether or not they think they do, because if not, they're just little brains that run around and throw things, and yep, that's where you end up. And so we also just want kids to be safe. I think that we had a family this morning, a first-time family, and they just moved here from San Angelo, and one of the girls was very nervous to go into her classroom. She was crying outside. It was really sad. She left after second service, skipping out of her classroom with her mom. And so I don't know what happened in her classroom, but she felt safe enough to sit with the girls that were in there. She felt safe enough to participate, and she felt welcomed enough. And so I would just want you guys to know that like the things that you do matter to the kids. And in turn, that matters to the parents. Like those parents are like, we'll be back next week. And it's like, awesome. Like, see you guys next week. Because their kids loved church. The parents want to come back. And so just remember those things. And this is like a good thing for you to just hold on to. I'll also email it out. I'm really bad at keeping paper. It will end up in my bag crumbled, and then it'll be like, what is this? And it's, you know, something important. But all of that to say, that is kind of what we want to set for you guys as a benchmark to look on of, am I serving my church well? And am I doing this in a way that is honorable to the Lord and to these kids and to these families? If you have any questions, we can always talk about it. But there's also qualifications on there that they talked about, core competencies. Those are also on my job description. And so we're not asking you guys to do things that we are not also being asked of. But read over that. You don't have to turn it in or anything, but just kind of gives you a good place to follow and a good place to walk in. So we're now going to step into a little bit of just like our program times. I will walk you guys through our Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Sunday morning is what we will spend a lot of this training talking about because it is our biggest program time. And that's just when we have the most families here. Sunday night is smaller. Typically it is like, 10 kids. So Sunday night is a lot of, if parents are meeting on campus, we have those kids and we run program with them. And it's a really sweet time to get with a smaller group of kids and can often feel ineffective. But Eli here is already asked me when we start Sunday nights back. And so I think it's cool that we can have that time in program as well. It's a blessing to our families. Yeah, just another time for kids to be here at church and interacting with the gospel in a different way than they would on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. And then we have Wednesday nights. And Wednesday nights, we run RAs, GAs, and then we used to call it preteens, but now we're just calling it fifth grade. We're just going to keep it simple, fifth grade. It's just fifth grade. I think everyone's generally confused with the preteen things. We're fifth grade. I made that decision last week. We are fifth grade. And so RAs and GAs. RAs is Royal Ambassadors, and GAs is Girls in Action. And that all of that curriculum and things come from an organization called WMU, which is Women's Missionary Union. Okay, yeah, I was like, I don't know what the U is. Shauna has me back there. And it is a really cool program that sends us curriculum about missionaries that are based in different parts of the world, some local, some national, some international. And we get to talk to our kids about those missionaries and what they do and things that happen to spread the gospel past just where they are. And so that is our Wednesday night program. And the RAs too, honestly, they do a lot. They are always making some fire or shooting some something. And I'm like, no one get hurt, you know? Like, I couldn't be out there doing it. I will help you guys and we will keep our kids safe. But they do a lot of things to help our boys learn skills that are useful for life. And so it is a really cool program to be a part of on Wednesday nights. We also do a Wednesday night meal for families, and so that starts at 5:30. And then they come to their respective ministry spaces at 6:30 for program time. So I am going to start talking a little bit more about Sunday mornings and how we kind of meet our kids. One of the pieces of the mission was to meet them at their development level. And so I'm going to give you a quick overview of how we kind of see development levels for our kids. We have younger kids who are, we consider our first and second graders. Our older kids are third and fourth graders, and then our fifth grade. They could also be categorized with the older kids, but they also kind of fall in that in between of like, they really are preteens. They really are grade schoolers. Like they're a very unique combo of that in-between stage. And so fifth grade, they're kind of their own thing. They maybe might feel like in no man's land, but they're still very important. And we still love to cater to their learning style and to their ability to learn. And so for Sunday mornings, we have broken down our curriculum now into younger kids, older kids, and fifth grade. Which we kind of had done, but now it's just more obvious. Like, this is for younger kids. Like, I am reading the curriculum that is for my first grader. That maybe doesn't feel like it's for your first grader, but it is. And so we have kind of broken down curriculum like that, and everything will be put into our system that way, and so it'll be a labeled younger kids, older kids, fifth grade. All the content things will remain the same. We're still doing the gospel project, and so we will still be following the story of scripture until we are done following the story of scripture, and then maybe we start over. It really depends on where we're at that point in time. It takes a while to walk through. I mean, we are still in the Old Testament, and so it takes a while to get through the whole story of the Bible with them breaking down different characters and stories and big pieces of scripture. But that's kind of our curriculum. We changed the look a little bit. I am a colorful person, and so all of the blue was really just killing me. So we added a little bit of color, but not too much, but a little bit, but not too much. This also, speaking of color, whenever we start the new semester, every classroom will have a different color outside of their room to help parents and to help kids remember, like, oh, I'm this color. Like, this is the class I go into. Some of them can't read. Some of them don't want to take the time to read. Some of them don't remember the classroom that they went into, but they will remember a color. And so that's kind of a side note, but we're going to do that starting August 17th at Promotion Sunday. Another big piece of our curriculum that I really want us to kind of hone in on for a second is the portion of the curriculum that is the Bible story, it often is just a chunk of like word by word, read this, and it has verses like kind of underneath it. And sometimes that's like a whole chapter. Sometimes that's 10 chapters. Sometimes it's a couple of verses. But something that I really would love for our ministry to be known by is like biblical literacy for our kids. That's what I was saying earlier. Like, it is so important to sit down with your kids and open the Bible when they're in class. And so that's kind of what I have put on here. 1 Timothy 3:16 through 17, right, is that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. Like, that is what the word of God is for. And the word of God is for kids. It doesn't have to be a kid's Bible to be for kids. It's for kids because it's the Bible and it's for everyone. And so I just have a couple of things on here of, are you opening the Bible with your kids on Sunday mornings? If not, you should. We have Bibles in the classroom, maybe not enough for everyone, but they can share. It'd be a good lesson for them to learn how to share their Bibles. And so are you opening the Bible with them? And then kind of breaking down just a little bit of offering help. Kids need a ton of direction. You may think that they're smart, and then you have kids that get into high school and they're like, I don't know how to look at the table of contents in my Bible. And so we, as much as we can, would love to prevent that for our kids, because there's nothing more important to them, to me, than for them to be learning how to navigate the scriptures. And so I actually have another handout for you guys. I found this online. It's from Lifeway. It's called Bible Skills for Kids, and then it's broken down younger kids and older kids. But this kind of gives you just like a couple of different things of knowledge, skills, and application. And it gives you kind of like where kids should be based on their age and what you can challenge them with. And so I kind of broke down a little bit, took some of that from this, but first grade, they're still really learning to read. And so, you know, help them as much as you can and teach them to find a book. Finding the book might take forever, and that's okay. You can still get to the story and you can still teach them. We have so much time in the classroom with them. But this sheet is really helpful. So first grade, they're kind of still learning to read, but what does this say? That they should be able to understand that the Bible teaches people how God wants them to live. And so, you know, there's just cool things like that on there of our kids can be challenged more than we maybe are challenging them. Because they know and are capable of a lot more than what we often believe. But yeah, these kind of benchmarkers. Second grade, table of contents, like teach them how to use it. They can read and they can figure out a place, a page to turn to, and they can read numbers and flip numbers. And then third through fifth grade, man, they should be navigating the scripture of, what baptism? What does scripture say about baptism? And then helping them find that and being able to just flip to places and navigate like, oh, this is the Old Testament and this is the New Testament and this is what that means. And a really, really good way is listening to a podcast for how to increase your biblical literacy in your kids' ministry. And they talked a lot about helping kids not be intimidated by the big numbers and the little numbers. I don't think I realized how big of a deal that was. And this podcast was like, you have to tell kids, remind them, the big numbers are the chapter and the little numbers are the verses. You have the big numbers and you have the little numbers. So it'd be like, turn to Colossians, big number 2, little number 16, and read that. And so that kind of helps them understand and place like, oh, what chapter, verse, 2, 6, like what does all this mean? Big number, little number. Just think of the things that you know and just lower it for them. That's it. You guys are all equipped to be in children's ministry because you know the Lord. And so it's like, man, I even was talking with Wayne about like, man, I've been in ministry for 7 years and about 5 of that has been student ministry. You think that I am good at this? Like, you think I'm a good grade school minister? That's crazy. Like, I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. And he's like, well, you do, because you just lower it. You think about everything that you do if you have older kids or whatever, and you just make it accessible for them. And they will begin to pick up things and understand. And I would say that if there is something that you are saying about the Bible to your kids, this is a phrase that all kids can know and understand, is that the Bible is God's word and it is absolutely true. And that will shape the way that they interact with Scripture, is that if they know, it is God's word and it is absolutely true. So say that over and over. When I was in preschool ministry, they had a little chant. It's absolutely true, okay? And it gets stuck in your head, but it's like, oh, okay, yeah, the Bible is absolutely true. And we want our kids to know that. And we want our kids to live in that. And so I really want you guys to look at this in terms of what age group you teach, and just begin to challenge them. Begin to think, okay, how can I ask them these questions when I'm in class? Or how can I like engage them knowing that they can know these things? And that kind of goes into the next piece of classroom engagement that I want to talk about, is are you interacting with your kids? Like, do your kids trust you to ask you questions? Are you talking to them? Because they will probably be afraid of you if you're not talking to them, if you're not sitting down at the table and trying to color with them, you know, or connecting with them on some level. Interact with them and be the leader, and don't let them run the classroom. Kind of like I was saying earlier, they need structure and they need love, and so this is why we do our classroom rules. That's why we'll do them later. But along with classroom engagement, I wanted to talk a little bit about discipline. Our kids sometimes do need discipline, and that does not necessarily look like what you might think it looks like. In our So Loved document, we have a discipline policy laid out, and kind of my principle of what I have taken from that is that if you don't remember exactly step by step, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do, if there is one kid in particular that is taking your attention away from the rest of everyone in the classroom, come grab a hallway coordinator. Come find me. Like, there are people in the hallway that are here to help you, and that are here to handle those types of conversations so that you as a teacher can be present in your classroom. Each service, we have two hallway coordinators that walk around. The Schulers are first service, and then Allison and Rustin, not for much longer because they're going to be having a baby soon, but they're second service, and they rotate with Mike and Kim Strout. And so we have people that are more than equipped to step into classrooms with you, and to even take that kid out of the classroom to have a conversation with them and the other hallway coordinator about their behavior. And I want you guys to know too that if a behavior ever escalates to like, I think we need to call the parents, don't call the parents. Even if you know them, please do not text them as the teacher. Please do not reach out to them before we have the chance to talk with them, so that we can then engage with their parents to kind of relieve you from that burden of interaction with maybe a close friend or even someone that you don't know, and they're like, who are you? You're just the teacher. You know it's so we want to protect you guys and handle parent conversations if it ever escalates to that point. It typically doesn't. The kids typically listen. We have a kid second hour that loves to not listen. He really loves to not listen. And I mean not listen to a single thing that I say. And last week I had to take away his playground time, and boy did that make him listen. So just remember, strategies like that, you can be like, hey, I need you to sit out from the playground for 3 to 5 minutes. You know, it's like, sorry, like, we want you to behave, and we want everyone here to be able to listen and to learn. And so, man, you got to sit out from the playground. That kid was like, huh? And I was like, yeah, like, come on, let's go sit down. And he was pretty sad, and it led to a really good conversation that I never thought I'd have with him, of like, hey, like, I care about you, and I also need you to listen to me. He's never listened to me like that before. And so just think about that. We want to love these kids. We want to be kind to them. And they also need that structure. And they need that reminder of like, oh, they can do something when I'm not being right. Like they can do something about my behavior here. It might not be like at home, but they can do something. And so we want to care for not just that one kid, but the whole class. And so just remember, if a kid is ever taking away your attention from the rest of the class, come grab a hallway coordinator so that you can be present, and that we can walk through those situations with that kid. Relieves a lot of burden from you with the other 10 to 15 kids that you have running around in your classroom. That's also another thing, is that you're never to be in a classroom alone with kids. And so even if there are more than three kids in the classroom, you should never be the only adult in the room, which is the reason we also have our hallway coordinators to step into that spot for you, or to allow them to walk with the kid to the bathroom, or whatever that situation is. There should always be someone in the hallway that can switch places with you, or watch your room. And kind of transitioning to another part of our Sunday mornings is our big group time, which I really did already talk about this, but I want to talk a little bit more. We covered the worship, but the questions from kids portion. If you guys are interested in like answering a question from the kids, let me know. It's a really cool opportunity to get to read through all the questions that they ask, but also be reminding them like, hey, if you have a question, write it down and put it in that colorful box that's outside. It's usually there. It's out there right now because I didn't move it this morning. And so just remember that like our kids, oftentimes will boo Pastor Kevin, and that behavior needs to be shut down. It's funny that they've been doing a lot better. They really have been doing so much better. But I mean, it can get pretty rowdy sometimes when Pastor Kevin gets thrown on the screen, which means they love when we're up here answering questions that they have. But that's just another thing of like, man, let's just keep them engaged and keep their behavior calm as can be in big group. And especially when we release to the playground, that's the next thing we're going to talk about. When we release to the playground, it is like, I mean, I don't even know what happens in their bodies, but they do not care. They're running to the playground, and their shoes are going to be all over the place. But they all make it to the playground. So that's what we at least know where they are. They just all sprint out there. And so because we do share this building with adults, we need to start being more mindful of like, okay, let's set a precedent at Promotion Sunday of like, we walk out of the big group room together. And you want to know why? Because we're not all just going to run out here and put all of our shoes on the second floor. First floor is for odd grade numbers. So if you're first grade, you're going to enter the playground downstairs. If you're second grade, you're going to enter the playground upstairs, so on and so forth. That is just to keep, especially with the upcoming kindergartners, to keep them from being confused about where they're supposed to be. Hey, what grade are you? Your shoes should be downstairs. Or your teacher should be downstairs. And so we have kind of gotten out of that practice, and that's on me, but let's start doing that again, just to help with the clarity of like, and the chaos of what happens up here when everyone is up here. But yes, and so then my other thing for the playground is that the only thing they should bring in the playground is themselves. You would be shocked at the things kids try to bring into the playground to play on the playground. They don't need anything else to play on the playground. They just need themselves. And so be mindful of them. They also love to stick their tags on things, on literally anything they can stick their tag on, which is, you know, it is what it is with the tags. But if you guys could remind them, like, hey, somebody's got to clean that off, or like, that can't be there forever. There is a whole post that is covered in tags. And Kevin one day was like, hey, you know that they're doing this? And I'm like, it was that way when I got here. And, you know, they just keep slapping them on there. And I'm just rolling with it. We're going to try to not roll with that anymore. So just be mindful of what the kids are doing in the playground. You know, using the slide properly, coming out when we ask them to come out, are all things that they need to be reminded of. And so let's just be mindful of them and watchful of them when they're on the playground. And then another big thing is that we don't want them to use the outside stairs. We want them to only use the inside stairs. And so hallway coordinators, as we're down there, are trying really hard. The kids love to run up and down the stairs. I don't know why. I just think it's cool. I mean, there's stairs inside. There's a lot for you to do inside the playground. But because we share this space with adults, you never know when an adult is going to be coming up or down those stairs. And so we want to be mindful of everyone in this building. And because we share it, we ask them to only use the stairs inside. One second. And then whenever we are releasing the second rotation, like after big group playground, to use this back hall stairwell, just because, again, you never know if we're leaving the playground late, what parents or adults are going to be exiting the building while we are also trying to use the stairs. And so, what? Oh, like the middle one? Yes, so like when they're on the playground, sorry. I know exactly what I'm talking about, and so thank you for asking. This middle staircase can gain so much traction, and so when they're on the playground, they like to get out of the playground and run up the stairs. We don't like when they do that, and so we've been doing our best to keep them inside. So that's what I mean by the outside stairs. And then when leaving the playground after big group, there is a staircase that's just right back here that kind of takes you down and out. So that's kind of it for the playground. Let's see. I have a couple of other things to talk about. I feel like I kind of hit on a lot of this when we talked about the hospitality piece and went through this job description, but interactions with new families. We want our families that walk into this building for the first time ever. One, they're often very confused. This is a big church with a lot of buildings, and it can be really confusing for a lot of families. Even though it feels small to us, it looks really big to a lot of people. And so we have that first-time guest station downstairs. And so if you ever are noticing someone, whether you're just hanging out in the lobby or you notice a kid that just walks up to the class and the parents don't have a hallway coordinator with them, they don't have a tag, like, just ask them questions. Like, be curious about the people that are coming into your classroom because we want everyone that comes into this building to, one, we want their contact information because we want them to come back. And also, we just need that for the safety of how many kids are in our class and who is in our class and who is at our church and are they new here? And that also helps you as a teacher know those things as well. And so be welcoming to those parents. Tell them what we do in class. I was talking to mom this morning. She's like, so what do you guys do? Like, do I just pick them up when it's over? Like, what goes on? And so parents often want to know that information. If a hallway coordinator has not always already shared that with them, you can do that. And so just think like, oh, I want to be a friendly person to this new person that is at our church. If they have questions, you can always just direct them back to me or direct them to our website. There are ways for people to know what's going on around here, but look for faces that are nervous. That's often how I know people are first time. If I'm not standing at the table, they're looking around like this. And I'm like, okay, you need help. And sometimes it's help with check-in, sometimes it's not. But often you can tell when people are new. And then when they come to pick up their kid, tell them how their kid did. Let the parent know that you paid attention to their kid in class. That is so impactful to a parent. When I was in Arkansas, I had this kid that he would cry about 90% of the class period, and then his mom would come to pick him up, and she'd be like, how would he do? And I'm like, well, he cried a lot, but I pushed him around, and this really helped him, and he got better, you know? And so we made really small strides with this kid. And the mom every day, she kept bringing him back. One, she needed her Bible study time, right? She needed away from that COVID baby that was just like attached to her. But she kept coming back because she felt safe that she felt cared for that we were paying attention to her kid and offering him the care that he needed. Obviously, we don't really have a ton of kids that cry in the grade school building, so it's a little bit different. But in my interactions with her, it was like, well, she kept coming back because she knew that we paid attention to him and knew their names and like knew the things that they did in class that stuck out. Or even if it's just something small, like, oh, I saw that your kid like was talking with them. Like they must have made a friend today. Like it's really awesome. We hope you come back, you know? And so engage with them as much as you can. And then interactions with parents and families that you already know, just ask them where they're going to lunch that day, you know? Just like, so glad you're here again. Even if it's, you know, the 10th Sunday in a row you've seen them, like let them know that you're so glad that they're here. And if kids ever come to you and are like, oh my gosh, come to my game or come to my play or come to this or come to that, go to it if you can. Also let us know. We would love to go to those things as well. But still, learn people's names, know their names as best as possible. I know there's a lot of kids and parents, and sometimes parents aren't the ones picking up their kids and it's siblings. Like just you know, be familiar with the families that are in your class and encourage them. Whether or not you really do know them or don't know them. And that will keep people feeling cared for and loved by our church in a way that I can't do on my own and in a way that us in standing in the hallway at check-in can't do on our own. So, okay, I've talked a lot, and I only have a couple of other things that we need to talk about. I'm just calling this the extras because these are things that I was thinking about. You guys needed to know. Subs, if you guys ever need a sub, our number one rule, if you read the So Loved document, don't freak out. It does tell you that you have to find your own sub. And some people do that, and that is really awesome. Also, not anyone can just step into a classroom. And so our rule for subs is that if you have a rotation, and if you have reached out to your rotation and they can't, then you just let me know and I will find that sub for you because our sub list is, I was going to say long, it's not that long, but it is there, and Kim and I use it very much every week, and so it would just be a hassle for you guys to do that. So if you have reached out to your rotation then they can or they can't, you've covered your bases. We will finish the rest for you. Arrival times, 15 minutes early. I always get asked in between first and second service, like, what if Chris lets out really late? There was that one Sunday that I think we let out like 10 minutes after time. And so that's okay. Like that's where everyone is, and no one is really dropping their kids off just for second service. If they're dropping their kids off, they're either coming from that service or coming to a small group or something that hour. And so that my thing is always, service is over, come over here. If you feel the need to leave a little bit early during invitation, do that to care for the people that were first hour. And then always two teachers present. We have security sheets outside of our classroom. If you guys could remember to write down the number of kids that were in your classroom on that given Sunday at the top of that paper, that would be a huge help to us. And even if not every kid's name is checked on there, the number, just, we're asking for the number. And we will figure out all of the names checked at a later time. But if you guys could just write that at the top of the sheet, that would be a huge help to us as we are inputting attendance. And then classroom rules, I kind of have already talked about that. We also have some needs, kind of like Wayne was saying. So I will walk you guys through first service, second service, Wednesday nights, and subs. We have needs in all of those places. The Lord has been very kind to me. And also I feel like I have maybe been annoying to some people of like, hey, I met you one time. Would you like to come serve in my ministry? Or like, I saw your name written down and maybe you're interested in my ministry. Like you want to, so, I don't have that many holes, but I do have, several. Let me actually pull that up so I can tell you guys, and you guys can be thinking about, okay, who would be good at this? And I have so many sheets. Okay, first hour, I need only actually two people. That's kind of awesome. Maybe three if you count Tara Hoover. She's one of our big group leaders. If you guys know anyone that'd be awesome at big group, let me know. Tara's about to have a baby. And I have someone to fill a spot for someone that is leaving. And so I need a big group teacher. And then I also need two teachers for our third grade B class, that service. So first service, we have first grade, second grade, third grade A, third grade B, fourth grade A, fourth grade B, and fifth grade. And so over the summer, our third grade class has kind of exploded first hour, and they have anywhere from 20 to 25 kids. And the Kinsleys rock it every week with about the same, if not more. But fifth grade will be moving up here into the room that is right next door. First, second, and third will be on the same side of the hallway that they are now, and then fourth grade will be on the other side of the hallway, also where they are now. Just two fourth grade classrooms, and then fifth grade will be upstairs. And then second service, I need one person to fill a first grade role, and then I need two people to fill a second grade role. And so those are kind of my needs for Sunday mornings. Again, they're pretty low. Like, the Lord has been really kind and provided for me in a lot of ways for our teachers on Sunday mornings. And then Wednesday nights, I mean, we always have needs on Wednesday nights. We just always do. Especially for RAs and GAs. Fifth grade, we're kind of cruising right now. I feel good about where we're at. But for RAs and GAs, we just always need at least one to two more in both areas of ministry. And so if you guys think of people that maybe would be interested, if you would be interested, we would love for those spots to be filled before Wednesday, September 3rd. I think that's that Wednesday night. And so it's coming. It's coming quickly. And then our sub list, I always think is really long until I start texting people. And then I'm like, oh, I don't have anyone left to text. And now I'm just thinking about random people that maybe could say yes. Just because you guys are on the sub list and we need you on the sub list. And the sub list also means that you're not always available. And that's okay, but we do need more people to sub for us. So if you know anybody that would be like an awesome step into a class a couple of Sundays, we're always asking for help. And so they would never be without, they would never be without a job if that is something they were concerned about. We always need subs, always need subs. And yeah, just would love those roles to be filled on Sunday mornings. And if they're not filled by someone, they need to be filled by a sub. So we don't close classrooms very often over here, and we would love to not have to close classrooms or overrun our teachers who are on a rotation so that they can go to their life group every other month. But, okay, I know that I just talked for quite some time. Does anybody have questions that they can think of right now? Anything that is left lingering in your mind? Yes, Rustin? Incident sheets. Yeah, that's such a good question. Yes, if a kid gets hurt on a Sunday morning, and if you have to give them a Band-Aid, ice, or like take them to the first aid box, we do have a little sheet. It's called an ouch report that you fill out. We make a copy of it. We keep a copy. We give a copy to the parents when they come to pick them up. Oftentimes, you get kids that are the Joneses. Maddie's really good at this. She will be like, I'm hurt my wrist. And I'm like, what were you doing? She's like, I don't know. And I'm like, okay, I'll give you ice. I do not write her an ouch report. And so it's just so funny. Your daughter's not the only one, but it's just, I love when kids do that. So yeah, seriously. I love when kids do that. If it is a serious need, we will write them an ouch report and make a copy of it and give it to the parents. If it's more serious than a Band-Aid or ice, we have incident reports. I have not had to walk through one of those yet, which is crazy. I've been here for almost a year. But we have incident reports for more serious injuries that we walk through. If that ever happens, you can find the hallway coordinators. You can find me, and we will handle all of that with you guys. So, Hunter, did you have a question?
I think I'll ask it after.
Okay, perfect. What we are going to do next is break into our grades. And so if you are like first grade, why don't you guys come meet over in this corner And what? Oh, yes, sorry. If I am thinking for promotion Sunday, so if on August 17th your class is going to be a first grade class, which honestly I don't know if many of them are here. Let's meet right there and then kind of just like funnel backwards, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. And if you are a sub or hallway coordinator, honestly, well, actually, wait, because I was going to dismiss you guys, sorry. Let's pray first. I have kind of like a list of things, and then we, after that, will get into our teacher groups, because pretty much after that, we'll dismiss. But I have on the screen, can you guys see that? Do I need to turn the lights down? Do we need to do that? It's probably hard to see, but I have this kind of list of prayer things with scripture next to them. So I would love for you guys to get in just groups or pray individually, however it pleases you, for our kids and for our ministry. And if you know of any kids specifically that, man, just need prayer because you know their family or you know what's going on in their life, pray for them. But I have a couple on salvation and just love for God's word. I mean, we want our kids to grow. We want our kids to know the Lord. And so if you guys would just take a couple of moments to pray for those things, I will then close this out in prayer and we will break into our grade groups after. So we're going to pray. Father, I thank you so much for the group of people that are in this room that are eager to serve you and to love the kids at South Spring. And we thank you for every kid that you bring into our building on day in and day out to hear your word. Lord, we ask that you would soften their hearts and open the eyes of their hearts to see you and all of your glory and all of your splendor, and that you would save them from the sin that they are born into, so that they can walk in newness of life with you, and that they would just love your word, that they would write it on their hearts, and that they would hide it away to be transformed and to be changed and to just grow in knowledge of you. And I pray that you would give us the wisdom to lead our kids into the places that they are supposed to be, and that you would just give us the wisdom to love our families where they're at, and to see kids and their needs and to meet them as uniquely as we can with the resources that you have given us. We just love you, and again, thank you that we get to serve your church. We thank you that you are the head of this church, that you are the one in charge, and that at every hole that we look at every hard kid that we look at every hard conversation that we look at, that we need to remember that you are the one that holds all of this together, and that you hold us together. And so would we just rest in that confidence and step forward in your confidence, knowing that we are called to this place because you placed us here, and that we are called to serve these kids because you placed us here. And I thank you for that unique calling on all of our lives to love and serve these kids and to meet them where they're at. I just pray that you would help us to know how to care for them and help us to know how to structure time for them so that they can learn and they can grow in an unhindered environment that teaches them the truth of your word. We thank you that your word is good and that it's true and that it teaches us and teaches us how to grow and learn together. We love you and thank you for this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So before we head out, if you signed up for training, you have a t-shirt on this table. And if you're like, did I sign up? There's a paper out there you can check to see if you did sign up. And if you didn't sign up, no problem. There's still a shirt for you, right, Casey? Yeah, there's still a shirt for you. And you could probably honestly grab your size and we can go from there. We have plenty of them. So before you leave today, don't forget to grab your shirt. And then we are going to break up into grades. And so if you are going to be a first grade teacher, this is where first grade sits on Sunday mornings. That's where second grade sits on Sunday mornings. Wait, this is where second grade sits on Sunday mornings. I'm a liar. I'm sorry. This is where second grade sits on Sunday mornings. This is where third grade sits. This is where fourth grade sits. And then fifth grade, you guys are very unique. You can find yourselves at the back row back there. Or you can go check out the classroom next door, actually. If you're fifth grade, you can go next door and go see the classroom that you guys will be in. What I want this time to look like for you guys is if you have a pair, collab with that pair about classroom rules. If you don't have a pair, think about those things and think about a plan to implement for when your kids do come on August 17th and it's either new teacher or new classroom or both. And either way, what are we teaching them and how are we structuring our classroom time together? You guys think about that. And then unless you need to come talk to me, you don't have to. You can grab your shirt and you can head out and we'll be done after that. So.